This podcast is brought to you by lineupmedia.fm.
You're listening to Surreal Talk, a look inside the world of cults, conspiracies, and the paranormal.
Something's not right, man. Something's not right. Something's bullshit here, and I don't believe it.
Honestly, this crazy shit could be completely possible.
Disclaimer, we reserve the right to be wrong, ladies and gentlemen. You think you know the whole story? Think again.
Now your hosts, Eric and Everett.
Thank you, intro guy. You're so important, and we don't give you enough credit.
Who is it?
I don't know who it is, but he's the intro guy.
Some random guy we hired off of Fiverr, I believe.
Really?
Yeah. I like the English
accent. Well, we are back.
Makes everything sound eerie, you know,
yeah.
Ominous.
That guy's cool. We are back this week again with another episode of your favorite cults, conspiracies, and paranormal show, Surreal Talk.
No, I don't know about favorite. There might be two or three.
Can I at least get on the top three? If we're on the top three, I'm happy.
Yeah, we're on somebody's top three.
Yeah, somebody's top three. So today we are talking about our favorite paranormal stories that we have captured from the website Reddit. There's a nice subreddit. If you ever go to Reddit,
Are you familiar with Reddit, Armand?
I've heard of it, but
so let's explain it to Armand.
Yes,
and
please.
Sure, I haven't heard of it.
Okay.
So you're familiar with message boards, right? They're just a forum where you go on. They're
blog
categorized by a overarching topic with lots of smaller subtopics. So Reddit is a giant version of that, where people can go on and submit links and pictures and memes.
And stories.
In thousands upon thousands of specifically categorized topics. Like there's a topic for Armenia. There's a topic for every different type of porn you could ever imagine.
Yeah, Reddit's like your site.
Oh, yeah.
The one we source most of our content today is reddit.com/r/paranormal. It's a subreddit for paranormal stuff. So that includes anything from ghost stories to aliens to you name it, anything weird. People go on there, talk about it, and put out a lot of good content on there.
But this one particular is like personal stories.
Yeah, so what we did is we went on to Reddit in this subtopic for paranormal and found a bunch of personal tales people have put on there about stuff that's happened to them, and we've collected into a decent-sized list that we want to read over today and discuss whether we think or not that they're bullshit. And if that type of stuff is possible.
Okay, so is that the thrust of this show?
That is the thrust of this show, sir.
Oh, by the way, rheumatoid arthritis, you should be on a gluten-free diet.
Some
pretty good studies that helps a lot.
A little bit of the chat stuff there.
Yeah, I didn't read that on Reddit either. That's in a journal.
You learned that
peer-reviewed.
Gluten-free diet, huh?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
For rheumatoid arthritis, yeah.
So before we get going, I wanted to kind of feel what your guys' thoughts on paranormal stuff is. Armand, let's start with you. How do you feel about paranormal in general?
Nah.
Yeah, I didn't think you were too much.
He said,
Of all the people put on this show, I think it's all...
You believe in aliens, though, don't you?
No.
You don't believe in aliens at all?
Well, I think there's alien life, but I'm not sure. Intelligent aliens that come and abduct people and take them away.
I'm right there with you.
Nobody was saying
we're the
that.
Only life form in the universe. No, I think there are others.
The paranormal side of aliens is... basically the part he doesn't believe in, and pretty much the part I don't believe in either. They're coming down here and anal probing us.
I agree.
They might be. You can't say that they're for sure not.
Well, like I said, I think my opinion, I've rendered it before, is I would have thought, it's totally rendered impossible by the speed of light, etc. But if there's dimension hopping, which if there's
subspace or hyperspace,
right,
you can get through.
And there's multiverse, maybe people can come dimension-wise, that might be possible.
What about ghosts? Do you believe in ghosts at all?
I think that's no.
What we see is what you get. There's no spirit or soul that could leave the body and exist without a person. In your opinion, I'm just saying opinion.
I don't know about the soul, but to say that comes back as some sort of ectoplasmic being.
Yeah, I don't know that I believe in the ectoplasm thing.
Like Slimer,
yeah, from Ghostbusters.
That's correct. Yeah, was that the one in the library?
Yeah.
Okay.
No.
Yeah. In the first one, he was in the fucking library.
He was in the hotel at the beginning of the.
Oh, it was a hotel, wasn't it? There was a library with Slimer.
Yeah, but that was
the
librarian.
Though.
No, he wasn't in the library.
That was the first one, right?
He was in the second one too, but
very little.
Anyway.
Anyway, you guys do believe.
I do not.
Look, I'll change my mind if new evidence presents itself to me. If I get haunted by a fucking ghost,
I'm right there with you.
I'll change my mind.
Well, what about these shows then? Do you watch these shows that supposedly have the meters and all this? And
yeah, that's bullshit.
Whenever I was younger, yeah. But it doesn't take more than a handful of episodes where you see the same exact thing over and over.
We did the haunted McPike Mansion.
You were there.
Oh, I remember that.
So this is that's essentially what these shows exactly are. Everett had that little meter. All we needed was a camera to follow us around. If somebody in the back hitting the wall every now and again,
and one
and
of us
we have
every
that show.
Minutes.
Yeah, I mean that's
so. Ocho Man saw him.
Oh yeah, Ocho Man was trying to. Yeah, yeah.
He's
Ocho
a believer.
Man made a fool
he's not
himself.
A believer. Yeah. I promise you.
You don't think he's a believer?
No.
He's just doing it for the camera?
Well,
we're going to talk about that on Friday with him then, whenever we hit part two
yeah,
of this.
Yeah, please do.
So for those listening on the podcast, this is actually going to be the first of two times we do this. We're going to do it today, Wednesday, hopefully to be released this afternoon. And we're going to do the show Friday and release it Monday. Now, the plan being is the following Saturday, October the 20th, we want to do a call-in / email / leave a voicemail show of your personal paranormal experiences. And we're going to make a whole show out of Surreal Talk listener experiences.
Listener paranormal experiences.
Right. So I guess without further ado, then let's hop right into it. Eric, what's your first tale?
Well, I have a pretty good one here, and it's the title of it was "My Husband and I have Seen Another Me."
Oh, like God. A doppelganger?
It gets a little weirder than
so
a doppelganger.
So do you want to give the username and when this was posted?
Yeah.
Roughly?
So this was posted 6 days ago by the user QuietVoice4846.
So, you think they want, is it Q-U-I-T-E?
Yeah, quite, not quiet.
See, I think they don't know how to spell quiet. So
Reddit is a weird
suspect.
Place of millions of users that you've
yeah,
gotten,
so maybe.
God knows why they chose that.
Yeah.
I would say it's probably quite specific why they chose that.
Okay,
what, that
so
name?
Here, we'll yeah. just, I'm just going to give you, for reference, the very first name of the commenter is Riesling Bamco.
Wow, I like that name.
And then the next
one character.
Is T.S. Bryan. I mean, there's no rhyme or reason on Reddit. Anyway, so without further ado, I'm going to get to the story. So here it goes. Late at night, I usually go to the bathroom multiple times, but for the past 4 days,
welcome
every time
club.
I go to leave, I can see myself still standing in the mirror from the corner of my eye. It's like the other me is watching me leave the bathroom. It terrifies me to the point where I almost run without looking directly at the mirror. I never told my husband about it because I didn't want to acknowledge it out loud. Earlier today, I took a nap in our bed while he sat in the chair next to it watching TV. When I woke up, he told me that he had seen me sit up and crawl backwards to the edge of the bed and stand up in front of our bedroom door from the corner of his eye. He thought it was weird, and I got up like that because...
Weird.
Yeah, he thought it was weird because I got up like that in the last month of my pregnancy and can't really... You know, she okay, so the chick's pregnant right now, and she can't really move that good. And so, like, for her to like...
Crab walk?
Yeah, obviously it's not okay. So I can't move so good without it hurting, and he tried talking to me. When I didn't answer, he looked at the door to find me not there and still sleeping in bed. I got really creeped out when I finally told him about what I've been seeing in the bathroom. He thought it was creepy as hell, but didn't really want to talk about it anymore because he thinks it will give whatever it was power or energy. I have no idea what it was why we've both seen it. That's her.
Well, I don't even know if that's a ghost then. What the hell is
it's
that?
It's paranormal.
It's paranormal as fuck.
Well, what would you call it? Do they have a name for this?
It's not a doppelganger.
No, that's not the typical.
Yeah, I don't know. That's weird.
Astral projection, some sort
it
of
could
maybe.
Be.
You
it
know
could
what
be
I mean?
An astral
because
projection
like,
type of thing. But yeah, usually, that's not how it works. You don't project yourself to where others see. You project yourself. I would see yourself like
exactly.
your physical self.
Oh, I forgot to tell everyone. I'm giving each story that I did a creepy level.
Yeah, I'll do a creepy level as well. And I'd like to creepy level yours as well.
Okay, well, I gave this one a creepy level out of 10, of course, of a 7, because that's pretty fucked up. Your husband, you don't tell him. She didn't even tell him that she was seeing this shit in the mirror.
How about a credulity level, though?
Yeah,
do we believe this?
Do I believe it?
Yeah.
Well, I believe I believe that she thinks that this is real.
I don't know.
I believe in her. I believe in her.
That's kind of the one thing, too.
Could be hormonal.
Well, on an anonymous forum as Reddit, too, sometimes people treat these places like a whole writing exercise. You know what I mean? They just sit down and tell the tale. So you got to be careful
making
of that
this
too.
Up as like a Stephen
I'm not saying
King
that's the case at all. It could be. I mean, people will exercise their minds in these
Someone in the
lot
comments suggested that she was more susceptible to the spirits because of her pregnancy. And I don't know, I guess.
She should be on a gluten-free diet.
I would give that a creepy level.
I'm going 7.
It's
imagination. I go with the 7 creepy level, yeah. But
if it was my wife and I saw it, and I'm trying to look at it from the husband's point of view because it's basically the only point of view I can have.
Right.
I'd be creeped the fuck out if I thought I saw my wife crab walk down the bed, stand up, and she's telling me she saw herself in the mirror. I'd be a little freaked out.
Would you try to make love to
The other her?
That'd be interesting, yeah.
I don't know. I'll have to think about it.
Only chance you get it another woman.
What about threesome?
Pregnant.
You and me.
Yeah.
Me,
kind
you,
of a
and
cool
you.
Threesome,
good
isn't
Lord.
It?
Sorry.
I'm cheating.
She's listening right now. She's going to kill me.
Why, talk about the devil's
credibility?
Triangle, huh?
I don't know.
Credibility.
I don't know the person, yeah, so it's kind of hard. It's kind of hard to put, you know. Do I believe it, or how credible is it? Because that's two different things.
Oh, no, I don't believe it. Oh, no, I didn't.
Zero.
I never said I believed it. I said I believe that she believes it.
I can't give any real credibility to it because I don't know the person.
Sounds like fantods to me.
Sounds like they're coming from a point of view where they believe it and this happened to them.
Well, yeah, I think they believe it.
So, yeah.
I don't know if anybody...
Clearly April. Nope.
April, right on.
Gary says, it's nice to put faces to those voices. Gary said earlier in the
chat
that...
I misread that. I said, nice to put feces to those voices.
No. Well, goddamn, Armand.
It's kind of far away.
But Gary said he's never saw us. He's just listening, catching up on the backlog, and this first time
Welcome
he's seen
to sugar.
Us.
Yeah.
Hi, Gary.
It's great to have a new listener.
Are you going to go next, or you want me to go? Or
I,
what?
I got one.
All right, let's hear it.
So this is a short little one. It's titled, I Was Frozen in Time for 3 Hours as a Kid, and I Was Not Alone.
Wow.
This was posted 8 months ago by user Ulrichson93. So it starts out, I was 11 years old. She's 24 now. It was my best friend's birthday.
Mm-hmm.
Me and many other friends were supposed to meet at his house, have a little cake, and then go to the movies to watch Spider-Man. So yeah, I was really excited.
Tobey Maguire, obviously. Oh, it could have been the first Amazing Spider-Man.
Not 11 years ago.
I think she's already.
Garfield was like 6-7 years ago.
Okay, brand her a goofball already.
Maguire. Anyway, it was probably like Spider-Man 3. Doesn't matter.
Yeah, could you be more specific?
It doesn't matter.
Excuse me.
You all right?
Yeah, I'm good.
Okay.
That's kind of paranormal.
Eric sneezing?
That could be a,
I doubt that.
No, it has nothing to do with spirits or anything.
Sneezing's bad spirits, right? That's why you say God bless you.
That's what I'm aware of.
Your soul's leaving your... Right, that's why you say God bless you.
No, you say God bless you so that the spirits can't take your soul out from the sneeze.
Well, I thought,
that
it helps your soul is
retain
leaving.
Your soul.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay, go ahead.
Anyway. So the day comes, and I really wanted to arrive early. So I asked my mom to drive me there at 2 p.m. instead of 3 p.m. It was a 10-minute drive, usually. We arrived, rang the bell, and the housemaid answers. Housemaid, interesting. Me,
oh,
hi.
Housemaid answered. I thought that was the housemaid answers. I was trying to know.
The housemaid
answers. M-A-I-D.
Okay. M-A-I-D.
What's me. Saying things today?
This is dialogue. Me. Mm-hmm. Hi, I'm here for Jamie's birthday. Her. Sorry. Or she looked confused. The kid says back, we're going to the movies later, like as a question. And the maid says back, I'm sorry, they left like 2 hours ago. It's 5 p.m. Me, okay, sorry, bye. So he walks back to the car where his mom was waiting and told her everything. Checked the time, and in fact, 3 hours had passed since they left their house. They thought it had to be their fault, so they checked, or maybe the clocks were wrong. That's until they arrived back home, and dad was waiting for them all worried, as they had been missing for hours. Calls were not reaching his mom's cell phone. So sometimes he talks about this mom. They still freak it out. What do you think about that?
Wow.
I don't think I understand what happened there.
So there he was going. His mom was taking him as a kid to a birthday party.
Uh-huh. Drugs.
10-minute drive. They get to the house. The kid hops out and goes to knock on the door. Knocks on the door. The maid answers and says, sorry, you're a couple hours late. Everybody's gone. So he goes back to the car and tells the mom, hey, what the hell, you know, we're late. The mom's like, what? And they look at the clock, and in 3 hours have passed. So they thought maybe the clock in the car is wrong or something's up and they're tripping. So they go back home, and the dad was flipping, like, where you been? I've been calling your cell. Nobody answered.
3 hours, huh?
3 hours just gone.
Time dilation? Lawrence?
I mean,
Krauss is what you're thinking.
Einsteinian, were they traveling at the speed of light?
No.
Could be.
I got to wonder when the time hop happened. Like, did it happen, like, did they go into the garage and then, like, go catatonic for 3 hours in the garage and then leave? Did they drive down the road, stop somewhere, and 3 hours passed? Because they had to sit somewhere for those 3 hours. It's not like they just blinked out of existence for 3 hours and then came back somewhere else as a time travel.
I think they're implying, though, that time stopped for them. Time stopped for them, but continued
for everyone else. But if time stopped for them, that means they had to be in a spot static for 3 hours, sitting like catatonic.
So you want to know my explanation for this?
Yeah.
I immediately made up a story in my head to deal with this. So what happened was the mom was doing some shady shit. Whatever it was.
This is what Jordan in the chat's saying, basically.
Parents for sure fucked up on time.
I like Ahmed.
That's exactly, how long ago was that comment posted?
Like 2 minutes ago.
Yeah. Well, that's exactly what I think happened. Mom was up to some shady shit, or parents can be both involved, but I'm thinking it was mom.
Ah.
Because dad, because when a kid gets home, dad's like, where you guys been at? I couldn't get a hold of your mother. Of course, mom, you couldn't get a hold of her because she turned her fucking phone off, and we went over and seen this old boy that she's been talking to.
Yeah,
and,
but
and then she tells the kid, you can't say shit.
Cynical of you there.
I know.
I would believe that. I would believe that other than this one small paragraph here. He says, so the day comes and I really wanted to arrive early. So I asked my mom to drive me there at 2 p.m. instead of 3 p.m. It was a 10-minute drive. So this kid is ultra aware of the time, when he's supposed to be there, and how long it takes to get there.
And he's 11?
And he's 11. Dude, when I was 11, I'm fucking watching the rental store for what new video game's coming out. You got your time periods out. You know what I'm saying? Especially
did
when it's a big birthday party where they're going to see
going
Spider-Man.
To this,
it's not said. But I'm saying this kid really was, this day at least, hyper aware of what time it was and how long it was taking.
I think he was manipulated by his parents.
How? How does this kid get manipulated? A kid who was super, like, he's probably woke up that morning, ready to go to this all day long.
Because if at 11 years old your mom tells you, holy shit, did time just stop for us for 3 hours? You're going to eat that up hook, line, and sinker.
But the mom didn't. He went to the house, knocked on the door, and the maid said, you're 2 hours late. You know, they left 2 hours ago.
Yeah, but so, he's implying that this was, the mom was doing something.
Yeah, how could she have did this? That's my point. How could she have made the kid believe that?
He's 11.
Because he was able to go to the house. Quaaludes. I guess.
Yeah, chloral hydrate.
The only thing possible the mom could have done is somehow knock the child out as soon as they left the house.
That could have happened.
No, it seems weird, but I can't believe this one.
And he had to come to right as they were pulling up to the house.
And not be
no
groggy.
Recollection.
Yeah. Exactly.
Well, this doesn't even have a peculiarity. I mean, even that's good. It's like four on this. It doesn't even sound like.
I didn't give it too much of a creepy thing, but.
Yeah, it's not creepy. This is just kind of stupid.
I don't know.
Kind of stupid.
I don't know. Anything with time kind of weirds me out because time is not something we completely understand.
Yeah, so time is so subjective, especially to an 11-year-old kid. Anything could have. The fact that he remembers this for 14 years or whatever is kind of odd.
Have you ever felt like you blinked and missed time or anything like that?
Yeah, kind of. Every time you go to bed, you do that. Or you sleep or whatever.
Fair.
Take a nap.
Have you ever did it, though, waking? Like, I did it, like, similar type of thing driving where I'll be driving and I'll have missed 10 minutes of a drive. I've been on autopilot thinking. Don't know how I've got through stoplights, across railroad tracks.
Not off of any illicit substances.
No. Just,
benzodiazepines will make you forget whole fucking chunks of time.
But that's what I'm saying. Time is so, like I said, I mean, there have been times I used to drive back and forth.
Xanax volume. You forget shit.
I used to drive back and forth to Chicago every week, you know, when I had offices here and there. And there have been times in that whole trip, which is like 4.5 hours, was blurred. It's like, wow, I can't believe I'm home. You just zone out. It was such a reflex. And by the way, Ame is a great guy.
What's he say here? Ame,
Team Armand. There you go.
Hi, Eric Everett Narman, long term fan. Finally around for one of the live streamings. Team Armand. Well, fuck you, man.
Hey.
Welcome to the show, buddy. There's a lot of people out there with you.
We're seeking.
On Team Armand there.
Yeah, thank you.
All right, well, obviously, I don't know. You guys don't believe that at all?
Individual.
I can't get
you don't believe
that.
The kid? You think the kid's making it up?
Yeah, because I think the kid deep down in his mind, he repressed some sort of memory.
What if it was aliens? Let's get crazy. What if they were
abducted?
What if? I mean, stop throwing stuff at me. But that's the only other thing I could think
of.
Not fucking aliens.
Hey, in the spirit of this show, that is a plausible explanation.
We are rather dismissive.
I mean,
for
I guess
it's a real talk show,
right?
I'm trying to work them in here.
I'm gonna give credibility a one, and even peculiarity and creepiness.
This one,
creepiness level was real low there. I just thought it was really weird.
About
I thought it was eerie.
Yeah, eerie for sure. Creepy, three or four.
The way that story was told with the kid and the way he was super into the party, that's the part that gets me. Like, he wouldn't be able to be manipulated by his mom, in my opinion. Kids are little bastards, trust me. You're not getting them over that easy whenever they really want to do something. Really, you think you can manipulate Allison that easily? I don't think I could. I'm not that smart. Maybe you are. Maybe you're
psychology. You don't got to be smart. You're a smarter guy than me, but I can read people way better than you can.
I played hide and seek with your daughter, and she didn't even look for me for 10 seconds before she gave up.
Uh-huh.
See,
ding, ding, ding.
Keep looking.
That's
because
she's a kid.
Well, she's a kid. That's what this guy was.
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah, they're kids.
All right, Eric. Well, let's hear your number two.
Well, the next one that I got was kind of like fucking weird, tugged on the heartstrings a little bit. It's kind of emotional and very creepy. So let me go ahead and preface it with that. But I'm going to start.
What's the deal with my camera? It keeps turning. What is the deal today? I'm not doing this.
What's
it just keeps turning.
What's the deal with that?
It's maybe it's haunted. It's haunted.
Frank's saying chloroform. That's true. And
whenever you come out of chloroform, are you completely lucid?
I don't know.
I don't use chloroform. It's kind of old-fashioned. We use Versed. That's the problem with that. They put you under with that. You forget, too. You have amnesia. That's why a lot of these anesthesiologists take liberties with their better-looking patients because you don't remember anything.
I can't believe that stuff actually happens.
No, not in my office.
Not in Armand's
office.
There's
only toe-sucking in my office.
Okay, let me go.
I want you to remember
he's kidding.
That.
Anyone out there, he is
I don't
kidding.
Have an office.
Oh, shit, we're dropping frames.
What are we dropping?
We're dropping frames on the...
What does that mean? I don't even know what you're talking about.
It means that everyone that's watching on YouTube has that spinning circle right there.
Oh, is that what that's called? I just call it the spinning circle.
Yeah, but
that's called dropping frames?
Well, at least that's what it shows up as. That's my... it's still dropping. Hold on.
I'll be damned.
What do you got? All right, he's got a base. Shit, I didn't know this was happening. I didn't either, man. I've got all the way up in my car.
Watching this, you would think we just lost 3 or 4 minutes, right?
Time
skip,
what would an 11-year-old think of that?
That's crazy. So you got number one, you got time dilation right there. For them, they lost time. It didn't stop in here for us, but they lost time out there.
So that's just as plausible as that kid.
I don't know about that. That was just technical difficulty.
I think the mother was going to an orgy.
That was like a bad CPU or something, right?
Yeah, who knows what's going on. We need a new stream computer.
Anyway, when I was in the fourth grade, my grandfather was diagnosed with stage
four. Hold on. What's the title of this? Sorry, I missed that whole part. What's the title? Who it's by? When was it?
Okay. The title is Grandpa Kept His Promise.
Oh, you have to title these things, too?
Well, on Reddit, everything has a subject.
You have a subject title, like an email, basically.
Okay. All right.
So the title is Grandpa Kept His Promise, submitted 6 days ago by 4Q Stretch.
Interesting names.
Wow. Yeah, people don't, it's weird.
I like them.
You don't want to know what mine is. When I was in fourth grade, my grandfather was diagnosed with stage four lung cancer. As a lifelong smoker and borderline alcoholic, this did not come as a surprise to my family. I was not told all the details at the time by my parents. They insisted that he was just sick, but otherwise did not say he was dying. My grandparents lived a little over 4 hours from us, and they never traveled. This means that literally every single time I saw them, it was in their house. My parents made the effort to drive and visit approximately 4 to 6 times a year. After my grandfather became ill, we started to visit more often. Even as a kid, I could tell that something was wrong, even though the adults were keeping quiet. The atmosphere was different. On our last visit, and he has last in quotations here. What the fuck are you doing?
Trying to figure out why my camera's moving, but I'm listening.
On our last visit before his passing, I got very upset. As my parents pulled out of the driveway, I jumped out of my seat, threw open the sliding door of our minivan, ran back to my grandparents' house where my grandpa was standing in the doorway. I was sobbing. He asked me what was wrong, and I said, I know you're sick, and I'm scared I won't see you again. My grandpa, who had never been very sentimental or hands-on with me, softened substantially. He got down on my level and hugged me, and while I sobbed onto his shoulder, my dad came up behind me and told me it was time to go. I repeated my fears out loud to my dad. My grandpa then whispered into my ears, I promise I'll see you again. I promise. And grandpas are not allowed to break promises. I love you. So now go get in the car with your dad and remember, I promise you'll see me again. With that, I quit sobbing and got back in the van. About a month later, my dad left to visit my grandpa, and we weren't allowed to come this time. As an adult, I learned this was because my grandfather had been hospitalized and was in very bad condition, both physically and mentally. They did not want us to see him like that. One night after my dad had been gone for a few days, my mom tucked me into bed, as usual. In the middle of the night, I woke up sensing this overwhelming, calming presence in the room. Much to my surprise, my grandfather was sitting on the end of my bed. I jumped out of my bed and rushed into his arms. He was solid. He was there. I hugged him tight, and we talked a bit about school and about the decorations in my bedroom because he had never been to our house before. After about 10 minutes, my grandpa told me that it was time for me to lay back down and that he tucked me in. As he tucked me in, he said, "Now remember how grandpas have to keep promises? Well, I kept mine. I'm here. You saw me again, right? I agreed that he had kept his promise and that it had made me happy." Then he said, "Good, but now you're going to go back to sleep, and I won't see you again for a long time, sweetie, and that's okay. It really is. I'll feel better. I feel better, you know. Better than I have in years, and you have a long life to live. So it's going to be a while, but I promise you'll see me again." I asked when, and he said a long, long time from now. "But when you do, I'll remind you again how grandpas have to keep their promises." And with that, he kissed me on the forehead, and I closed my eyes. When I opened them, he was gone, but I felt this overwhelming sense of calm and comfort again. In the morning, my mom came... excuse me. My mom came into my bedroom, and as soon as she opened the door, I said, "Grandpa died last night, but that's okay. I'll see him again one day." She was stunned as she was about to try to break the news to me about my grandpa dying and had been worried based on my outburst a month earlier. Throughout his funeral proceedings, I remember feeling that calm presence still there. I couldn't understand why people were crying and upset. It did not make sense to me. I felt so comforted and reassured that everything was okay and that there was no reason to be sad because Grandpa would keep his promise. I'm now an adult and have lost other grandparents and family members. No other time in my life have I ever felt such a sense of peace and comfort as I did with my grandpa's death back then. I truly cannot explain it. As odd as it sounds, his death was the most peaceful and loving experience I've ever had.
Marissa has the same story.
That's my fucking granddad's story.
I trust Melissa. I mean, Marissa, I don't know.
Wow.
This total stranger. Well,
what do you think?
First things first, you could easily write this off and say it's a dream. I mean, that's the easy thing to do.
That's the first thing you think. He's saying the point that he's solid, though, that was, you know, usually, isn't that?
Yeah, he said he was solid. He was there. I hugged him.
Yeah, isn't that the whole
Yeah, they're an point? Apparition, right?
Right. Very good. Very good word. Yes.
The other time, I hope it's real. That'd be really cool. Like, if every now and then a select few, it happens, that, you know, you can
they
see.
Get to a glimpse into that.
If there is an afterlife and be visited by somebody,
well, think about like if you died. Think about if you died and then you get that you get dumped a bunch of. So it's like, look at the grandpa's perspective in this. He died. He got dumped on with a bunch of knowledge. Like, you're going to see him again. I know I'll see him again. So maybe I can, you know, go tell him, like, look, don't worry, man. I will see you again. I promise. It'll be a long, long time from now, and there'll be tons of shit that happens from here to then. But I'll see you again, and I'll remind you.
Again?
Yeah.
It's the government.
Fuck.
I agree with it.
Hey, sorry to do that in the middle of a show like this. The stream computer crashed, and we have to reboot it, so that's what's going on. We'll be back in 1 minute. And we apologize for the technical difficulties right there for everyone in the podcast. We had to pause it for a second. Our YouTube stream went down. We were dropping tons of frames. And we are back now, though.
We are back.
I'm going to read the last paragraph over of that grandpa story.
Please do.
Just to make sure everyone got it. Okay, so recap, you know, his dad was sick. Or his dad, I'm sorry, his grandpa was sick. They'd only been out there, you know, about 4 to 6 times a year. It's like a 4-hour drive away. The last time he went out there, he freaked out because he knew his grandpa was sick. His grandpa told him, don't worry, I promise you I'll see you again. I promise. And grandpas always keep their promises. So we're at the end of the story right now. In the morning, my mom came into my bedroom, and as soon as she opened the door, I said, Grandpa died last night, but that's okay. I get to see him again one day. She was stunned as she was about to try to break the news to me and had been worried based on my outburst a month earlier. Throughout his funeral proceedings, I remember feeling that calm presence still there, and I couldn't understand why people were crying and upset. It did not make sense to me. I felt so comforted and reassured that everything was okay and that there was no reason to be sad because Grandpa would keep his promise. I'm now an adult and have lost other grandparents and family members. No other time in my life have I ever felt such a sense of peace and comfort as I did with my grandpa's death back then. I truly cannot explain it. As odd as it sounds, his death was the most peaceful and loving experience I've ever had.
Wow, that's both creepy and reassuring at the same time, isn't it?
It's crazy. To me, like I said, I caught the creepy at about an 8. But then once you start thinking about it, it's like, God damn, I hope it works like that.
Me too, dude.
But have you,
Marissa says she has the same story.
I had a cousin that had the same. His mother died, and he told me he and his sister saw her. Now, they didn't jump in. While he was driving, he said, he saw her in his car with him. So he was not young. I mean, he had to be in his 20s. And he said his sister said, in fact, his sister warned him, Mom's going to come visit you.
Really?
She came to see me, and she told me she'd come visit you. And
did it happen?
Yeah. According to him, so. And then Marissa says she had the same experience. So this is not a unique experience. I was going to wonder, have you guys ever heard anybody you know? Nobody said they. The thing that got me was he jumped into his arms, and he was solid. That was.
I'm kind of a dickhead, and if somebody started telling me that story in real life, I would probably start to tune them out pretty quick. I'm just a dick like that. I just instantly don't believe.
Eh.
I'm an asshole. I'm not going to lie. But sitting here like this in a third-party stance, it's a little bit easier to take it.
Because you don't know the hurt person because they hide behind a blanket of anonymity.
Right. It helps because, if I'm looking at Armand and he's trying to tell me this story, I'm like, you're full of shit, Armand. I'm looking at you in the eye and I'm thinking you're full of shit. But yeah. It's a little different this way. Anyway.
I thought that one was super fucking creepy.
Yeah, real creepy, but.
But again, though, I hope it works like that.
Well, that'd be great.
Yeah, you know what I mean? That's proof of the afterlife is so. That's all I want. I'll get religious real fast. Maybe not super religious, but, you know, I can get a little spiritual if I can figure out there's an afterlife.
But you I'm not sure. I don't know if there's an afterlife like that. That kind of
who knows what the afterlife is.
That's not religion, though, isn't it? If that's
Well, at least spiritual. I mean, I'm going to start to figure out. I'm going to start to wonder about existence at that point. Like, is there a point to it? If I live outside of this, what is the point of this physical being? If there's another existence before or after? I start thinking about that. I don't give a fuck right now because, as far as I'm concerned, what we see is what we get, and that's it. But if there was an afterlife, I'd start to get a little existential.
That's eschatology.
Yeah. I wouldn't.
All right. Here's my second story. It's not as creepy yet.
I'm going to rate creepiness 4.
4?
I've heard it before. I don't think it's unique as far as creepy. It's not what I call creepy.
Dr. Armand, the creepy level is going to be a little.
It's not creepy. I think the wife walking around.
Ain't creepy to you.
The plausibility.
You think that's creepy? Come to my office.
Yeah, there's some creepy. Anyway, we will discuss that.
That's funny. This fucking camera, I swear to God. All right, anyway, my second story here is titled, My Older Brother Told Me Where to Find My Missing TV Remote Last Night. He has been deceased since 2011. Now, this was 10 days ago. The story was posted by a guy named Herminator.
So, oh, yeah, the Herminator.
The Herminator. Yeah. So it starts like this. Last week, my wife and I attended a wedding and had to have a sitter watch the kids overnight. When we returned home, everything was fine except the remote for the living room had gone missing. Usually when this happens, it's stuck in no man's land under the couch, but I could not find it anywhere. I actually gave up on it and ordered 2 more remotes off eBay. Problem solved, right?
Yeah.
So last night, before I got up to go to bed, my son came out of his room and asked if he could sleep with his mom, so I told him yes, and got the couch ready to sleep on. While I was asleep, I had the first dream of my deceased brother since he passed in 2011. In the dream, he was holding my remote in his hand, saying he was sorry for making me spend money. He knows I don't like to waste money on things I didn't need, and that he would put the remote back where it usually is. The first thing I did when I woke up this morning was to check the spot that he told me in the dream, and it was there. I checked that spot at least once a day since it went missing. Thanks, Jeff. I'll return those new remotes as soon as they arrive. And there's an edit here at the end of it. Edit. Guys, when I told my wife about the dream and showed her the remote, she started crying. Between her and I, that spot on the couch was checked and rechecked at least 20 times. I'd also told my sister about it, and she was ecstatic because he would mess with both of us when we were kids by hiding things in really tough spots until he was sure we had looked everywhere and then put it in an obvious spot we weren't around. It's like a classic Jeff.
Yeah.
So that's kind of interesting.
Holy shit. That is cool.
It's cool. Not super creepy, but like, just a little touch of the spirit world.
Yeah, but...
In the spirit world.
We're in the spirit world, yeah.
I'm in the spirit world.
I love that.
Preternatural.
Young Guns?
Anyway. Young Guns, no. They were on a peyote trip. It's crazy, though, because, like, all this happened from... This was a dream, you know? So this guy, it kind of paints a different perspective as to, like, what spirituality is. That they can invade our dreams? I didn't know that.
Apparently they can visit you any fucking way possible.
Right. Yeah, that's cool.
And I've said it before with aliens and any other type of story we hear, that if 99.9% of every fucking tale we hear about this is false, that still leaves the 0.1. You know, so you got to keep the open mind on this kind of stuff. Even if it's as dumb as the guy told him where his or found out where his remote was. Maybe. You know, if there's no point for life, then there's no point for afterlife. And if the afterlife exists only for me to tell you where your remote is, I mean, who's to say that's not, goddamn camera, not the way it goes?
Yeah, I'd be happy if I found my remote after a month or two.
Okay.
Does that give life purpose that you can come back and?
What is your purpose, Armand?
There is none.
No, it might.
There is. Read philosophy. There's no purpose.
Schopenhauer.
If we were to learn there is an afterlife, then I would have to start thinking there was a purpose for us to have a physical life. What is the reason for us as a non-corporeal being to be given a physical life to experience? That's what I have to start pondering. I don't want to do that.
What would happen?
It gives you a chance to live out, like, you know, your. Like, figure out what kind of person you are in order to place you in the afterlife. You know, if there is an afterlife.
But what if the afterlife isn't the afterlife?
The afterlife is eternity, but they need to.
And you existed before and after your life.
Yeah, but you have to be gauged, you know, on what kind of, like.
So judgment? So I refuse to believe that there's a judgment in existence. It doesn't make sense.
Why not?
I don't know. It just doesn't make sense.
You mean like a religious?
Yeah, in that regard, I would say it doesn't make sense. Just me.
I like the balls of energy theory myself. That's a good one. You ever heard that? No. I'll forward you the article. Right. I'll find it. It's a very good article.
So if you die, what can I expect you to hide of mine? And I know you're not coming back to tell me about it, so let's get it over with now.
Your car.
You're going to hide my car?
Yeah.
Oh, my God. In the couch cushions?
No.
That's the last place he'd look.
No. Where are you going to hide it? Are you going to bother telling me?
No. Why?
So it's just
going
to get stolen, and I'm not going to bother going to cops. It's just my dead brother.
Right, yeah.
I knew this was coming.
Fucking trickster.
Why don't you fill out that report?
Fucking trickster.
Yeah, they'll come after you with a butterfly net.
No, I'd probably hide something like your mic that goes into your Astros. I'd just pull that out and
take away his damn camera. All he does is fidget with it.
His phone.
There he goes again.
His phone.
I can't help it today. I don't normally like. I'm just gonna rip it down over here. Stick it on the desk.
I don't know. You would think there's better things to do, though. If you're, you know, if there is an afterlife and you're, you know, I could see you going back to see your grandson and embracing him. Okay, that makes sense.
So it's not worth it to go back and tell somebody where the remote is. It's worth it to keep a promise.
Kind of a waste, isn't it?
I mean, I don't know, man.
It depends on your personality.
So you get
a quotidian, isn't it?
You get to come from the afterlife to the physical world based on merit. Like I said, I promised.
Or does everybody get one? Like this dude chose to go to his grandson. This guy was like, I got to let him know where I hid the remote.
Yeah, that's pretty stupid.
You get one fucking comeback from the afterlife.
That's interesting. I mean,
you know what?
That's kind of a cool movie, actually. That's not a bad idea for a script.
If that's the case, I'm not going to steal your car. I'm doing something else if I got one. If I only get one.
I think you'd castrate him or something. You'd do something really nasty.
No, I don't know what I'd do.
You're going to fucking castrate me. I'll just kill you myself.
I'd probably like pull the president's pants down on live TV. Just, you know, something crazy, man.
That's crazy.
I'd rather flip up Kellyanne Conway's skirt so everybody can have some fun.
Did they say Cromer needed Studio 11? We better get humping on this.
Oh.
I don't know.
Anyway, let's go for your third story.
Another hour.
All right. My third story is called Needing Some Help by Heart.
Well, wait a minute. We didn't rate that thing. Creepiness was maybe a 3, I guess.
Yeah.
Not that creepy, but I think plausibility is another two.
Needing Some Help. I don't even see this one on your list.
Okay, now go ahead.
Oh, it's not got the same. Okay, yeah, sorry. I see it.
Needing Some Help by Heartcore. So.
How old is the story?
It's like a week old.
So you took everything that was recent, basically, on there?
No. But these two are.
Okay, I was just curious.
Yeah, no. So me and my husband have been suffering from some unexplained activity recently, and it's starting to freak us both out. And I'm not sure where to turn to IRL, so I figured I'd go to Reddit. Before I start, I just want to stress that all of this is true, and I only want serious solutions to our issues. So,
well,
like,
you want a solution?
Don't troll me, basically.
Oh, maybe we can offer some help here. All right,
the
good.
Stuff started a few weeks ago. Now my husband is a very rational guy. He's a complete support of scientific answers and pretty much everything, and a skeptic of most things. Sometimes annoyingly so. I can relate.
Let's get him on the show.
He's always had bad dreams, but recently he has been having serious nightmares. He works quite late and doesn't usually go to bed until 2 to 4 a.m., by when I am already fast asleep. Usually around 3 to 4 a.m., he wakes me up because he is seriously convinced that there is some sort of bad presence in the room. Okay, I just thought of something I didn't think of before. He's using this bad presence to get midnight booty. Waking her up at 3 or 4 in the morning.
Well, I haven't heard the story yet.
There's something here.
Let's get your theory afterwards.
Well, yeah, I think I want to get all the facts.
Usually around 3 or 4, he wakes me up because he's seriously convinced that there's some sort of bad presence in the room. One time even claiming he could feel something grab his leg from under the bed sheets. I'm more of a believer in the paranormal, but I try to disprove it first with science, so I argue that he could just be sleep paralysis of some sort. However, I could hear one of the cats hissing at something in the hallway. It could have been her hissing at the other cat, but this is rather unlikely as they get along so well with each other and was a little bit coincidental. It's really freaking me out because I'm not too sure what to do. There's another few things I've noticed myself around the house. The outdoor light, for example, has been switching itself on and off at night, and when my husband was awoken by this presence. So when he gets woke up at 3 or 4 in the morning,
the light's flickering.
Spectre. Yeah.
I mean, you hear that about that kind of stuff when there's a...
Of course. When I am home alone, I get goosebumps, a really bad sense of something being wrong, and a feeling of being watched. It got so bad today and was accompanied by an odd chill that I ended up locking myself in the bathroom for a bit.
How's that going to help?
I think she's crazy. A lot of our stuff has gone missing and randomly emerged in other places. That's the...
There you go again.
Same thing. I've tried attributing this to our new cats, but the stuff vanishing and reappearing in odd locations started happening.
Yeah, when they moved the microwave, I think you can eliminate the cats.
Amy says in the chat, is it the cat?
Hey, Amy, right on the...
So, wow.
Amy's sharp, man.
I don't really know what to do. It's getting to the point to where I'm fearing going to bed. Right now it's 12:30 a.m. and I'm typing this because I'm fearful of another weird episode tonight. Any help would be appreciated. Edit. Completely forgot to mention the balloon. Just before this stuff started, a fucking balloon randomly appeared in the house. I want to say that it floated in, but it's been pretty chilly here in the last few weeks, so we've all had all the doors and windows shut at night. This Peppa Pig balloon just appeared in our house one day, and neither of us are too sure how it got there.
Peppa Pig.
What's that mean?
It's
a British cartoon for kids, like 4 to 6 year olds.
Okay, Mike.
All right, Amy probably watches that.
Since it most definitely wasn't there when we moved in, and nobody had come over in between when we got the place and when it appeared.
It sounds like an add-on for creepy.
Yeah.
I'm going to throw in a Peppa Pig balloon to really fucking drive this home.
Yeah, that was an edit after the fact, so I don't think that was...
Oh, that was an edit?
We can't give that credence.
That was an edit, the Peppa Pig balloon.
I was gonna say, it seems like an add-on after the fact for creepy. But I don't know. That's a pretty weird one. What are your thoughts, Armand?
I don't know what to say about that. I agree. I think the husband's up to something.
I think he's trying to get laid in the middle of the night.
You think that's what it is?
Yeah.
I don't know, man.
Let me flick the fucking light off real quick. Baby, something grab my leg.
It sounds like kind of like classic night terrors.
Overtight.
Nightmares to me.
Night voices.
It sounds like nightmares and night terrors to me. It's a pretty common thing for people to get.
Peppa Pig, yeah. See,
tell me you haven't woke up from any dream, be it good or bad, before, and felt like it was absolutely real.
Yeah.
At least for a period of minutes afterwards.
Absolutely, yeah. Well, those are...
Oh, I've had the time where I woke up and go, did that happen?
I mean, that's what I'm saying. So it's not hard to believe somebody who has recurring
nightmares. And
you start
thinking like, no, I don't have, you know, that kind of car. And, you know, you got to just use logic when that stuff happens. When you have a dream that you think is really fucking real, you know.
Well, sometimes you can't. Sometimes you're still stuck slightly. Like, I know I've been stuck in dreams for what seems like a minute where I'm still thinking of that person in that dream. You know what I mean?
No, I don't.
Where like, the world of the real and the world of the dream are kind of at conflict. And I'm like, you never like that waking feeling of you're struggling coming out of a dream where you're like...
That's called sleep paralysis.
Well, no, we're trying to marry the fact of the logic of what you know is real versus what you've just lived and experienced, and you're still that kind of that person in your head. You have that.
Never.
You never had that? Have you ever had that?
Were you kind of... Yeah, I think like 1% or something, they study these dreams. The ones where you're in the dream, but you know you're in a dream and you can kind of control it.
Well, that's like lucid dreaming.
Is that what they call that?
Yeah, that's lucid dreaming.
What are you talking about?
I'm talking about whatever, you're just coming out of a dream and you're still relatively...
Say it. You just woke up.
But you're
and you can remember the dream very vividly, but you're
still
not
feel like,
sure.
Well, it's not even that. You know, whenever you're in a dream and it is real life, like when you come out of that dream and you're starting to wake up, your brain for a short period of time still thinks like you're that person in that dream. You know what I'm saying? And you're having a conflict.
Right, I know what you're talking
about. When you're waking up, the conflict of what
those are
I
very
just lived
vivid dreams,
versus what I know is real. You know what I mean? I know I have this car in real life, but I also have this car here, and I know I got to get the car in the shop in the dream. You know what I mean? It's like weird conflicts. You never had that? So what I'm saying is, if you're having a lot of shit ton of nightmares, like recurring, I totally think you could easily believe it. I don't think it's bullshit that this person's trying to get booty. I think this is a person who has night terrors and recurring nightmares.
You think
and
so?
And who believes it. Have you ever had recurring dreams that you believed, positive or negative?
I've never had recurring dreams.
You've never had a recurring dream? Wow. I have the ability, and I've had this forever, to continue dreams. I can wake up, like if it's like in between.
I can't either.
In between snoozes, like I'll hit my snooze on my alarm.
Wow.
I can go right back to sleep and pick a dream up. I can do this for 10. I did this for over 10 snoozes before, like hour and a half.
Must have been a hell of a dream.
Oh, man.
I don't want to get back to mine.
I have fun dreams, man. I have really fun dreams. Not like they're lucid, but they're more like adventures.
No.
I don't know. I have a good time.
You have a very fecund imagination.
Like
a
apocalyptic alien invasion. I had a dream. My favorite dream of all time was an epic fucking alien invasion where I was leading my group of people out into safety. So much fun. I don't know. They were destroying. It was like War of the Worlds. But I'm having the time of my life.
Aliens.
I can't wait to get back in there and fucking get our people out to safety. That was my fun dream.
I'd side with the aliens. I'd backstab all humankind.
Really? Like Jesus Christ, Armand.
Team Armand,
malefactor.
Yeah, that's your Team Armand. If you would like to switch, go to www.surrealtalkpodcast.com and go down on the
Amy
right
already
side.
Voted.
Switch it. Yeah, but they can switch it here to Team Eric.
Speaking of which, can I offer mine as kind of a stupid? What do you guys think of this? When I'd go visit my friend for these nocturnal visits in her trailer, she tried to convince me she had a ghost that would turn on her boombox in the middle of the night. And you know, now get a load of this. This is the quality woman I end up with. Here's how she combated this. Well, to checkmate this apparition or this specter, she would unplug the boombox, and then it didn't happen anymore. Hmm. And I'm thinking, wait a minute, a ghost came in here and turned on your boombox, and to prevent this from happening, you unplugged the boombox?
I mean, that's logical.
Does that make sense?
We're going to try this. We're going to try this. I'm going to unplug
it. Poltergeist?
Yeah.
Well, if it's a ghost.
It's unplugged.
Dude.
Well, that's what I'm saying. It's stupid, right? If it's a ghost, it turns on. It doesn't need the power.
No,
correct? You never know how it works, Armand. Maybe with that ghost it does. Here's a confession.
Ridiculous.
There is no movies out there worse than Poltergeist for me to watch that hit me in like a real scared place. You know what I mean? Watching those movies with the afterlife like that, and they seem so real, especially the Poltergeist ones, for whatever reason.
Poltergeist is scary, man.
Dude, they scare the shit more than Jason, Michael Myers, any of the slasher shits. Those type of ghost stories, Paranormal Activity, for instance, that one still bothers the fuck out of me. I know it's fake as hell.
I don't watch it.
You never watched Paranormal? You should watch that, dude.
No,
it's good.
I ain't doing it.
You seen that one?
I've seen like number 5 or something.
Watch the first one.
Okay,
it's the only one that's really worth watching.
Somebody dragged me to it. It was terrible.
The first one was worthwhile.
Okay.
These type of movies and these type of experiences, among any other stories I hear, are the ones that make me hold my breath. You know what I mean? They give me that deep breath, like.
Well, I agree with you that something like involuntarily, that is more like, scary than a slasher movie where it's just, they're always making out in a car, and you know the guy's going to breathe heavily. And
right, you've got your one big jump scene, where, and then it's... Yeah.
Right.
But it's stuff like the afterlife and plausible ghost stories, you know, what's in the dark that you...
Have you ever seen the original The Haunting?
I have not.
Oh, now that's... We have it on our...
We'll have to find it.
We have it.
We'll have it. It's in the
Watch
library.
It. It's scary.
The Haunting. I wonder. Really scary. I feel like I've seen a newer version of that.
Yeah, it sucked. The old one is really scary, and it had none of that baloney of special effects.
What was the
ghost story? It's a ghost story.
Yeah, but what's the give me a synopsis.
The house is possessed, and it's possessing one. And
you remember the episode of The Simpsons, the first Treehouse of Horror?
Yeah,
that one.
Yeah.
It's,
really?
It's the real story it was based on.
Well, the scientist was going to. He's actually studies this preternatural scientist.
The House on Haunted Hill.
No, it's different. Called The Haunting.
House on Haunted Hill was about a sanitarium, wasn't it?
Wasn't that the one with Vincent Price?
Yeah.
That was
Price.
An Emerjo, remember? Because the skeleton would come out in the middle of the show in the theater.
I don't remember that part. I never got to experience it like that. I saw the.
Yeah.
I'm
not 900 years old, Armand. I wouldn't know.
I don't either. I didn't want that old. That's just a piece of movie trivia.
All right, you guys ready for my next
one? Hang on, Rayleigh. Raylene says that the Poltergeist movie had bad stuff happen to all the actors, too. The actors believed the movie was cursed.
I'd heard about that, too.
Ocho Man scared of his own shadow, Loire. He's a coward.
Dang. All right, here's my
third. Doesn't want me on the show.
Here's my third story. It's the title, and in parentheses, Haunted, Home Showing I'll Never Forget, by The Real Mess of Submitted a Year Ago. The key points she wants to start out with is, I'm a real estate agent, I automatically get sexist.
Yeah,
assume
you think
she.
That.
Weird. Sorry. Key points. I'm a real estate agent. Also, for privacy, I've changed some of the names of the clients. One of the few haunting types of things I've experienced. Anyway, here we go. My clients, Jim and Pam, that's from The Office, had been looking for a home to buy for a while. We'd seen a few houses that were in their price range but didn't have the features they wanted. So when a home matching their requirements and price point popped up on the market, we were all more than motivated to give it a look and hopefully make an offer. We scheduled a showing for 7 p.m. that evening. I didn't have much going on that day, so I got over there around 6:45, and I still had 15 minutes before the buyers would get there, so I decided to do a look through the house. Also, turn on the lights as it was getting dark, and turning on lights for showing is a good idea.
Mm-hmm.
When I walk into the house, right away I notice it's fairly nice for the price it's at. Seemed to be underpriced by at least $10,000, if not more. And that gets me excited. I know the buyers are going to want to make an offer, so I just have to make sure there's nothing super awful. As I make my way through the rooms, turning on lights, I come upon an intercom in a hallway next to the kitchen. Press it and talk through it to hear that the other receiver is directly below me in the basement. Very cool, as I've only seen intercoms in the movies. Then I walk through the door frame into the kitchen. The counters and the cupboards look nice but cheap, and then I notice the refrigerator is open. Must have bad suction or something, or someone left it open, I think to myself, and go over and shut it. I give it a little tug, but it seems sealed pretty well, so I figure someone from a previous showing left it open. Even though the refrigerator has nothing in it, this is still a little rude of the last agent not to do a once-over and shut it. As I mull this over, the intercom buzzes and static comes through. I slowly walk into the hallway as it continues, and a few steps away, it cuts out. Must have been electric shortages or something downstairs. I hadn't gone downstairs yet, so I figure I might as well go turn on the light and check what's going on with the intercom. The basement doesn't have a switch. Just pull a string attached to a light in the middle of the room. The light from the outside is coming through the small windows just enough so I can see where I'm going, but not much more. Before I can pull the light string, I hear the intercom buzz come back on. This time it's static through the basement receiver, so the interference is coming from upstairs now. Not really sure what's going on at this point. I turn on the light and run up the stairs. Again, the intercom stops as soon as I get close, but something in the kitchen catches my eye. I walk into the kitchen to find that every cupboard, drawer, and the refrigerator again is wide open. My heart sinks and the hairs on the back of my neck stand. At this point, the scare is over, but the clients called to let me know they had just arrived. 6:55, this happened very quickly. I hurriedly slammed everything shut and tried to act normal for a bit. When I opened the door, Jim asked if I was feeling all right. I assumed I was slightly pale. Looked like you've just seen a ghost type of appearance.
Understandable.
We quickly walked through the house. Nothing opened this time, but afterwards, when asked how they felt about the house, they both agreed that something felt off and dark about the house. I told them I sensed that too, but didn't go into detail. Needless to say, we didn't write an offer, and I've never gone back. Definitely creep me out. Definitely haunted.
Really?
That's a pretty believable-sounding story.
Yeah. I like the detail.
Yeah, very, very detailed.
Attention to detail, yeah. I'm going to give that one a plausibility of 4. because it was well written.
I like the fact that you said any type of paranormal thing anywhere in the world has any plausibility level. Right there, ladies and gentlemen, we've cracked them.
Yeah.
We've cracked them. You've just said that these
opening. These are all relative. I mean.
Well, relative to the rest of them?
Yeah, those other stories. This one, I think I'll buy more.
I'm striking that from the record.
More than the spider crawling wife.
Yeah, that thing there in the floor, you got to watch out for.
Yeah, I just kicked it. There we go. All right. So, yeah, I give that a fucking creepy level of 8 or 9.
Yeah.
Especially since right now I'm looking for a house. That's one of the worst things you could do is buy a haunted house.
Oh, are you kidding? I think that would increase the value, wouldn't it?
I mean, if you could prove it. Nobody in the history of proving anything has ever proved a real haunted house. What you got is a bunch of freaked out fuckers. Always freaked out.
When you say haunted, though, has anybody ever proven that they've been harmed? Let's say it's haunted. That just means the ghost lives there.
Because if you can prove it, then you can prove an afterlife, and everything in the whole world changes.
None of that has ever been proved.
But like movies, when they're haunted, it's a maleficent, right?
I don't know what that word entity. Means.
Yeah, it means bad. Malevolent, maleficent, yeah.
Oh, okay, yeah. Benevolent. Well, no, there's good spirits.
Right, but there's bad ones too? Is there?
Well, yeah, in the movies. You're talking about in the movies, of course. There's good and bad.
None of these stories always have
You can't have good without bad. There's no reason to call something good if there isn't something opposite.
Yeah, it's like the thing didn't kick me down the stairs as I was investigating.
Yet.
Right?
Yet.
I mean, we don't know. What if those guys would have been, instead of 5 minutes early, 5 minutes late, she had 10 more minutes in that house? By herself. Who knows what could happen?
Things could have escalated. Could have backed on.
Something good could have happened. Maybe it gave her a lottery winner or something. Maybe, you know, why not? How about that?
Could have been a succubus.
Possible.
Yeah, that'd be great.
It's possible.
I want one of them.
I don't know. I thought that was a creepy-ass story whenever
that's
I read it.
That's the best one yet, I think.
I think so, too. All right, Eric, you got your next one?
I do have my next one. It's right here. It's called My Sister's Wedding Band, Unexplained Occurrence. This is the subtitle. By Echoes of the Moor. M-O-O-R. That's who the story's about.
Yeah, stay off the moors.
Hello, everyone. New here. But I had to join after reading so many posts and wanting to share my stories. Just to give a short rundown, my family has an extensive history with having paranormal experiences, unexplained occurrences, a.k.a. we're all fucking crazy. I will be sharing more soon.
Turn your mic a little better, if you would.
But I want to start with a very interesting unexplained experience we had. I have an older sister as well as an older brother, as well as a brother that's older to both of us. So this lady is the youngest child with an older sister and older brother. She got married, lives about 3 hours away from where me and the rest of my family live. So in 2009, 2010, I was dating a girl that I ended up marrying. And when I had just graduated college, I was living with my parents until I found a job and got my own place. She would come stay at their house on the weekends with me, and she always packed a duffel bag of clothes and belongings. This one Saturday, we had woke up and had a full day planned. We were going to the furniture store to pick out a couch. Then we had planned to go into the movies with my parents and dinner afterwards. We were both getting dressed, and I noticed she was leaning down getting stuff out of her bag that was located in my closet, and I heard her say, "What is this?" I walked over, looked down, and there was this ring laying there by itself in the bottom of her bag. I was like, "That's odd. Where'd you get that at? Or when did you get that?" she says. "That's not mine," her girlfriend tells her. "I am not sure whose ring this is." I shrugged and then said, "Put it on. It's pretty." She picked it up, put it on, and it fit her finger perfectly. We didn't think anything else of it and carried on with our day. Later that evening, we were at the movie theater, and my sister had texted me and was asking about the movie we were watching while we were waiting for the movie to begin. We were chit-chatting through text. I told her about my girlfriend finding that ring in her bag. My sister then asked for me to send her a picture of that ring, curious to see what it looked like, and I obliged. Several minutes go by, and I look down and notice my phone was flashing, that I had an incoming call from my sister. I answered the phone, and I was like, "Hello?" And on the other end, I heard silence for a second, followed by sniffling, and then my sister's broken voice saying, "Where did you find it?" She was obviously crying, and I was completely confused because I wasn't sure why. I responded, "What do you mean? The ring? We found it in the bottom of my girlfriend's bag at the house while we were getting ready this morning." She went completely silent, and then after a few moments, she goes, "There's no way. That's not possible. Let me call you back later. Enjoy the movie." When we got off the phone, and I was completely confused, but I wasn't sure what else to think or say. So we watched our movie, had dinner, and forgot about it. After I got home, my sister called me back and explained why she acted so strange. She proceeded to tell me that the ring was her wedding band and had been missing for well over a year. Additionally, she knew it was her ring because it had a small bend crease on the one side where she had mashed it one time. This is strange enough in itself, but it gets even better. She told me she had lost the ring in Charlotte at their home 3 hours away after taking her rings off and setting them on the counter next to the toilet. And after she had flushed, she slipped and hit the rings and the band fell on the toilet while in the middle of flushing. She said that moment stands out to her because she remembers the sound of the band hitting the porcelain of the toilet. She had been emotional about it for a long time, knowing that she accidentally flushed her wedding band down the toilet. but hadn't told anybody because it was kind of embarrassing. What makes this even more strange, my girlfriend wasn't even in the picture at the time that the ring went missing. I was in college the year before and had never even met her. I met her after I graduated and moved home, so there is no way she could have retrieved this ring. The last piece of the story that gets even more interesting is my sister and my brother-in-law were going through a very rough patch in their marriage at this time. My sister had suffered from infertility and was not able to give her husband a child. They fought a lot, and she had interfered and caught her husband in the middle of planning a love affair with a woman at his work. They were close to divorce and had even been discussing it. The day I spoke to her on her phone, she called me after seeing the picture of her ring. Excuse me. And we're even discussing it on the day that I spoke to her on the phone when she called me after seeing the picture of the ring I sent her. She looks back at that moment and contributes that to being the kickstart to repairing their marriage. They are still happily married and adopted a child 5 years ago. I still to this day have no explanation how this was even possible. The universe is incredible.
Wow.
I believe the part about the husband trying to have an affair.
That's plausible.
Yes,
that's plausible.
I'll give that a 10.
Men, do you have affairs?
I don't know. It is eerie. I'll give it a 5.
I put this
for
up there
creepiness.
The story of the dog who traveled 3 states and found his family. You know what I mean? It's very weird. It's like how do these objects, which have no rightly way to travel these distances,
yeah, but a dog is animated object.
It's way more likely.
A ring, yeah.
But it's the same thing. It's like this is one of those weird stories of how did an object get to a place where it shouldn't have any place to be.
And it's the same exact ring. It's not a just the same design ring.
Do you believe it's the same ring or just a fucking crazy ass? She heard it go into the toilet.
Yeah.
Now, hang on. She heard it hit the porcelain.
But even then, how's it going to end up in her?
It could have hit the side.
Went into a garbage can nearby. Somebody found it. I mean,
landfill, went to a pawn shop.
I would say it's more likely that the coincidence that it is the exact same design ring. Like, you bought a ring from fucking Gales or whatever like that, and they used that same design on 10 different rings they had made. That's much more likely to me. I don't know where the supernatural would be. What the fuck? Nobody was dead in this. There's no ghost part of it. It's just weirdly that ring showed up a year later in some place a couple hundred miles away.
Yeah, well, three hours. That's the weird thing, too, because she wasn't even in the picture at the time that the ring went missing, this new girlfriend that found this ring in the bottom of her bag. So people could say, oh, yeah, a bitch stole it or whatever. No, because she wasn't even this dude's girlfriend when that shit went missing.
Oh, I'll grant you, if this really happened as described, it's
super weird.
Yeah, right.
It's right up there if it really happened as described with the time skip. If it really, like that time skip from the first story I did with a mother and son, if that happened, that's right up there with a completely fucking unexplainable.
I think it's even more.
It's completely unexplainable.
Yeah, if it happened as described.
As described, right. Yeah. I don't know. I just thought that one was super creepy. It was cool. It was weird to me because the girlfriend wasn't even in the picture at the time. You know, and his sister contributes him sending a picture of that lost wedding ring to her repairing her marriage because they were suffering through infertility, infidelity, all kinds of shit was going down. And that picture just like gave her the spark that she needed. Like,
well,
holy shit. Well, like she's thinking in her head, like, yeah. I remembering what that wedding ring meant. Yeah. You know what I mean? Like, this was the reason, like looking at that, it could mean so much. You know what I mean?
Yeah. You can see how
we
got to
work
so
on
miraculous.
This because
somebody's trying to.
Amy says maybe the girlfriend was the one the husband was going to have an affair with and he had found the ring and given it.
With Amy on that one. I like that one.
Holy shit.
Most sense made right there.
That's a good explanation.
I changed my mind right now, just now.
Yeah, that's the answer.
Amy's
right there.
Amy's brilliant, man.
Yeah. Wow.
Team Armand, too.
Gonna need you to
she's
come
on
back
my team.
All right.
What does that tell you guys?
It's pretty wacky.
And it was in the bag because the girlfriend took the trip with the dude.
Could be.
Holy shit.
She wasn't in the picture yet, huh? Somebody what you think.
You need to get on Reddit.
Wow.
You need to get on Reddit and message that lady. Just send her a private message. Hey, we got this cracked
open.
We figured this shit out.
Or actually, it's the
why
brother.
Why do you want to split them up?
I don't. You're right.
They adopted a kid.
If it means keeping them from thinking something paranormal happened when it didn't really.
Yeah.
Yeah, when somebody's just cheating on their spouse.
Right.
This is much more simpler. It stems from that cheating you already knew about.
He's caught. I hope they don't listen
playing
to this.
Was playing a love affair with a woman at the work. That's where she worked at.
Uh-oh.
That's crazy. Right.
Okay, well, I think we shed light on that one.
Here's my next one. It's titled, "The Dead Boy in My Dreams Finally Spoke to Me." It's posted 2 months ago by someone named AprilShowers_XX. Don't even say it. I know what you're thinking.
No. That would be a different one.
Not me.
It has nothing,
not our mom.
There's nothing yellow in it. Just April right. showers.
Sure.
It's something spring-like, primavera.
Mm-hmm. April showers bring May flowers, Armand. What do May flowers bring?
Oh, boy, this better be dirty.
Do you know?
No.
Pilgrims.
True. Very good. So did the Speedwell, but it sprung a leak.
Yeah, you don't have that. And boat's going to leak. Man. Anyway, Dead Boy finally spoke to me. My family moved into a small house in Northeast Ohio when I was about 5 years old. I had a bedroom on the first floor for a few years, and everything went fine. The entire upstairs attic was my parents' bedroom, quote-unquote, since it was just one giant room. When I was 12, I switched rooms with them so I could have the big room. The attic always gave me a strange feeling, but nothing horribly off-putting. Sometimes I would be sitting at my desk alone, and I would manage to spook myself out with what I thought was just my wild imagination. I just never felt completely alone for some reason. A few months after staying in the attic, a young boy started to appear in my dreams, probably about 6 years old. He was almost blue in color, had short dark hair, and wore little shorts and a button-down shirt. Sounds like an old schoolboy type of outfit.
Sounds like Thomas Gainsborough's Blue Boy.
Yeah, kind of. Almost like a 1960s type school uniform. Okay.
Yeah, very good.
He always had a neutral expression on his face. He never spoke to me in my dreams. He was just there. He would occasionally
point in the attic.
No, in the dreams. Just he was always in the dreams and never spoke. Was just a fixture. Like just a and yeah. Going on, he says he always had a neutral expression on his face. He never spoke to me. He was just there. He would occasionally point to things or just stare at me. I never felt once like he was evil or malicious. I think he just wanted to be seen by me. I would always wake up feeling like he was being watched after seeing him in my dreams. Eric, you paying attention?
I am.
Okay. What am I talking about?
You're talking about a little boy. There's a 1960s school outfit on, and he's a dead kid, and this other kid sees him all the time.
Okay, fair enough, fair enough. You never know. He's reading chat. And that's yeah, sometimes he gets
I'm not reading chat. I'm actually doing something else, but I'm listening to you at the same time.
Gotcha. Solitaire.
My bad.
Solitaire. It's Minesweeper, man.
Battleship. All right. I'm listening. I'm drinking in every word. All right.
All right. I would always wake up feeling like I was being watched after seeing him in my dreams. One night, I had a dream that he was standing by my bed and staring at me when I woke up. I felt an overwhelming presence close to my bed. I felt sick, like something was horribly wrong, but I still didn't feel like the boy was evil. Just sad and lonely, maybe. Like maybe he was having nightmares and wanted to be by me. I started to recognize his presence whenever I feel like I wasn't alone in my room. Fast forward to when I was 16. I hadn't seen the boy in my dreams for quite some time, until my grandmother passed away. I fell asleep the night before her wake and saw the boy in my dream. I was in a field and he was standing on top of a hill with his back turned toward me. Keep in mind, I've been dreaming about him for 4 years and he's never spoken to me before. He turns around and looks at me in a soft, slow voice and he says, "You know, her feet are cold." Then I woke up. I felt strange because he had literally never spoken to me before. But then he randomly tells me that someone's feet are cold. Okay.
Hmm.
So I went to my grandma's open casket wake that day, and my mom started to throw a fit because along with my grandmother's favorite belongings that were placed on her body in the casket, there was a pair of her favorite slippers on top.
Not on her feet?
Not on her feet. My mom wanted the slippers put on my grandma's feet because her feet were always cold when she was alive.
Hmm.
She wanted to make sure my grandma's feet would be warm in her afterlife. I had no idea that my mom had even asked the funeral home to put the slippers on her. I'd realized that the boy who often visited me in my dreams was letting me know that my grandma's feet were cold. Although I still saw him in my dreams and felt his presence, he never spoke to me again after this. I always felt a special appreciation for him. I felt more connected and at ease when he appeared in my dreams or when I felt his presence. He was like a guardian of some sort. I grew to love him. I don't live with my parents anymore, and ever since I moved out, he stopped appearing in my dreams. I miss him every now and then, and I'll go into my old bedroom and sit on the floor just so he can see me. So he knows that I'm okay, and I still think about him. This is a real experience of mine, and I've wanted to share it with people for years. Maybe I'm crazy, but I know what I felt.
That's fucking creepy.
Yeah, that's pretty weird. A recurring character in your dreams, that'd be freaky, wouldn't it?
Yeah.
Anybody anywhere comes up to you and tells you this dream, and you could probably believe them. They have a recurring character in their dreams. Tell me you're not going to have 10 fucking questions right off the bat about this.
Yeah.
I'm glad I don't have any recurring characters in my dreams. A presence that feels like it is real and recurring in my dreams, like, in this other land of dreaminess, there's a presence that's there. I know I have to deal with it.
And I know I'm going to take
good,
shit
bad,
for
or
this.
Ugly.
But if you're going in and sitting on the floor so the dude can see you, you might be just a tad bit crazy.
I agree. But up until that point, let's get rid of that point where your motherfucker might be crazy going to visit.
Yeah.
That could happen to anyone.
Creepy as shit.
Yeah.
Creepy as shit.
And the coincidence of the shoes could just be a coincidence, but again.
And this is Northeast creepy. Ohio because Touched by a 12 gauge says that's, I guess, a particularly
haunted. He's a Southwest
haunted.
Ohio.
Oh, okay. Well,
what's
Northeast
what are you saying
there, Ohio is haunted as AF. I know what that means.
I don't know.
I don't know. Our
I didn't know that.
Have you ever heard things like that? That, you know, sections of the country are more haunted. I guess
I mean Alton's supposed to be super haunted.
Right?
I mean, I've been through all the tours in Alton. I've never really
like
experienced
these
it.
These homes in Maine and the New England, right? That area is supposed
to be. Yeah, like the Winchester
Salem,
house is supposed to be
super
haunted.
Salem, of course, because of the witches, I guess.
Regionally, I don't know. I mean, I would imagine, what is it?
I like this one, though,
big
for
city
imagination.
Louisiana had the big Katrina, what was it, city? New Orleans. I imagine that's a pretty haunted city as well.
Oh, yeah.
But I don't know.
Especially because the graves are above sea level
right.
and all that.
Right, they keep them all above ground and everything.
There's pretty scary movies down there.
Indeed. All right, that was my next one. I felt that was kind of spooky.
I like it for imagination.
Indeed. All right, E.T., your turn.
Okay, this is my own experience of a crisis apparition by...
I need glasses, Eric.
Sestrini Kiwi.
Oh.
First sign.
Sestrini Kiwi.
Jeez. Sestrini Kiwi.
Yeah.
You like that name?
How do you spell it?
Don't ask that.
Sestrini Kiwi.
Okay.
We must be from New Zealand, I guess, huh?
Must be.
Kiwi.
Most Kiwis, yeah.
Anyway, so a few years ago, I was busily engaged. I like that word, busily.
Yeah.
Yeah,
sure.
I was busily engaged in packing up kitchen stuff since we're moving houses and trying to ignore the foul smell of silage coming from the fields outside.
Silage?
Don't know that
word. I don't even know what that is.
Silo,
I guess.
S-I-L-A-G-E.
The stuff in a silo?
Silage.
It is grass or other green fodder compacted and stored in airtight conditions, typically in a silo, without first being dried and used as animal feed in the winter.
Good
okay,
word.
So you're smelling mold.
Busily, that's
it's
a good
fermented,
word.
I guess you can
it's
call
disgusting.
Yeah, it's disgusting.
The foul smell of silage
good.
Coming from the fields outside, and then it was then I smelled the unique aroma of pipe tobacco smoke. Just as I registered this, I heard my granddad say, "You right, son?" from right behind me. I spun around hoping to see him, only to find empty air. I say I hope to see him because the chances of him having been there were slim because he was on the other side of the world, back in the UK. Needless to say, I was a little spooked, but got on with it. The next day, we were unpacking stuff into the new house when the phone rang. My dad went in and a few minutes later called us all inside. It had been my auntie calling to say that my granddad had died suddenly of a massive heart attack. When I heard, I felt a shiver run up my spine. What were the odds? Furthermore, he had died while smoking a cigarette, not a pipe, which he would smoke on Sundays. May I not have been the only one to have a visit, as my dad said a short while after that they were driving back to the new house along windy country roads, and he felt like granddad was with him and had asked, "Where the bloody hell are you taking me, son?" According to my auntie, psychic stuff like this runs in the family, and my great-grandma used to call it the spooky woos. So there it is. Yeah, so two people, separate incidents halfway around the world, both felt like they... Without having the prior knowledge of their grandpa dying, which one of them was his dad, not his grandpa, but without having the knowledge of it, both felt like on the same day, same time, had an experience with the grandpa simultaneously.
That's pretty weird.
Yeah, I thought that was cool, too.
I don't know. I mean, it's possible.
Yeah, it's not. I mean, I don't know. It's not the creepiest
standard
one out
stuff.
Here, but it wasn't bad. It was pretty crazy, I thought.
It's kind of a pattern developing here, though, with some of these stories. Because it's, you know,
oh, yeah, I mean,
harbingers of death and...
I mean, you could look at it like this. Almost all ghost stories are like that. Whenever you're going to make up your own ghost story, you're going to follow the patterns you've read before. So, I mean, not everybody is super
Let me ask you that. Would
imaginary.
Would a ghost have...
Imaginative.
What kind of abilities? I mean, could a ghost say, "Look, I got a hot tip for you in the third race at Fairmont," or whatever, and give you... Would they have time travel abilities, too? Or were they omniscient?
Beats the shit out of me. Are they fourth-dimensional beings? I don't know. Can they see the future?
Because that'd like
experience the past, the future, and the present at the same time. It's a good question.
Yeah, that kind of thing.
And if they did, why the fuck would they care about giving anybody in our third dimensional experience or existence any tip about it?
Well, because say a loved one, your loved one's poor, you know, and whatever, and you're a ghost, and you could I don't want to see my loved one starve. You give them some sort of
that's to
help.
Say emotion and connections exist.
Wouldn't that
in
make
the
sense?
Afterlife, but I don't know.
It would.
I mean, I'd rather have my grandpa do that than embrace me. You know, give me a hot tip.
Give me a fucking stock market tip.
What are the lotto numbers, Gramps?
Right. That's what I'm saying.
Let's get real visceral.
Well, that's what I'm saying. If the ghost has this kind of power, you would think he'd give you some sort of inside information.
Well, if you've ever read the handbook for the recently deceased, you know that's rule number 12.
I'd like to see. Well, okay, maybe that's like Asimov's Three Rules of Robots.
Did you ever see Beetlejuice? That was a book, and it was the handbook for the recently deceased that they found after they died. I thought
it was
kind of funny.
It was kind of fun. I don't remember that part, but I do remember. It was kind of funny.
It was a goofy movie.
Yeah. It worked on a certain level.
It was a Tim Burton movie, which I usually shit on. But
I liked Michael Keaton in it. It was one of his finer roles, honestly.
I agree. All right, so I skipped one of my stories because the headline of this one really kind of grabbed me.
What was the movie where they made cars? from the Japan.
Gung Ho.
God damn, that was a classic.
That was a good flick.
That was Michael Keaton, right?
Yeah, George Wendt was in that as well.
Okay, I remember that. Yeah.
Oh, he was.
Yeah. All right. This is titled "Demons Are Real."
Uh-oh.
It's published by Pushing Daisies 21, submitted a year ago, roughly. This is undoubtedly the most terrifying experience that I've encountered in my life thus far.
Uh-oh.
I was 8 or 9 at the time and staying with my sister and 2 cousins, 1 girl and 1 boy, at our grandparents' house. They live in the desert in the middle of nowhere in Arizona, but we spend almost every weekend all together at their house. I've never had anything happen there until this experience. The 4 of us decided to sleep over in the living room, as there was more space for all of us to lay. The living room was small, but still managed to fit into 2 long couches and 2 loveseat-type armchairs. My sister and boy cousin slept on 2 of the long couches, and my other cousin and myself rolled out blankets and slept on the floor in front of the freestanding wood stove. We snuggled up, and the soft glow of the dim lamp allowed us to drift into a peaceful sleep. Suddenly, my eyes shot open to the lightly lit room for some reason. I didn't hesitate waking up, but I hadn't heard anything that would have startled me. Everything was completely silent. How long had I been sleeping? It felt like a few hours at least, though my adrenaline wasn't helping to indicate how much rest I had actually received. My body and mind was on all systems go mode, and it was a surreal feeling. I never felt this kind of way, even back at a younger age. My cousin and I were laying on our sides, and I was facing her back. Seeing her long black hair reassured me that maybe everything was all right, because no one else had woken up out of fear. But that's when I saw it out of the corner of my eye. To my disbelief, something was in the room with us. One of the armchairs sat next to one of the couches, and a few feet in front of where my cousin's feet lay, there was a dark silhouette, a male figure, sitting in the chair. Not just normally sitting in it, no. His legs were pulled up to his chest, he was sitting in the chair sideways, his back leaning against one of the armrests. I slowly moved my gaze around the figure, not moving my head or body at all, only my eyes. I heard my heart pounding in my ears and felt my stomach flipping over itself violently. He was facing away and looking down as if he was watching my other cousin sleep on the couch. He was extremely lean and had straggly shoulder-length hair. There were multiple solutions in my mind to try to come up with a rationalize why this man was there. They raced through my head almost simultaneously. The first, he's a home intruder. Wait, we're in the middle of nowhere. No one lives around here, and he wouldn't be stealing stuff or trying to kill us if he broke into the house. Wait a minute. No, sorry. And wouldn't he be stealing stuff or trying to kill us if he'd broken into the house? Sorry for my inflection there. Okay, not a burglary. That's it. It's just a shadow in my mind is playing tricks on me. No, it can't be. He's sitting in front of the lamp, and I can't see any light through him. No way a shadow blocks all the light, and I can see real features like his hair and arms. Last sort of dumb I know, but it crossed my mind that it might be Jesus. My parents never forced us to be religious, but we were taught certain aspects of Christianity and were encouraged to say the Lord's Prayer.
Jesus.
I felt a sense of calmness rush over me at the thought of this being Jesus. And honestly, I only thought that because of his long hair reminded me of all the pictures of Jesus I had seen. As quickly as the calmness filled my body, it was disturbingly torn away from me. Right when the thought of that this may be Jesus crossed my mind, this thing got up. It got up in such a strange manner, though. If you have ever played The Sims before, you know how weird the avatars move. Like to sit, the avatar will walk up to a chair, turn to one side, then turn again, and then sit. That is the only way I've ever been able to describe how this thing moved, in that sort of broken, unnatural pattern. It stood up, still facing away, and then turned and faced forward, and then turned around so it was facing me, and then sat in the same position as it was before, its legs brought up to its chest, and its arms wrapped around its knees. I was utterly terrified. My cousin was less than a foot away. I tried to get her attention. I think I managed to whimper her name quietly 2 times, till I was too afraid to keep trying. I didn't have the slightest clue what to do. I contemplated running for my grandparents' room, but it would require running right past this thing. I was in complete fear of my life and soul that I didn't want it to catch me. I contemplated just screaming and trying to get my sisters and cousins' attentions, but I kid you not, the only thing that I thought was they're already dead. For some reason, that's the thought that was put in my mind, that they were already dead, and I was the last one that would be killed by this thing.
Jesus Christ.
As I'm having this internal meltdown and fearing the eternal damnation of my soul, this thing begins to run its hands up and down its calves. But not just that, its nails were scratching at its skin. I can still remember the exact sound of its nails scraping against its flesh. Recalling it brings tears to my eyes, and I don't think I'll be able to forget that moment. As it was scratching itself, it was still watching me. Though I couldn't make out the exact facial features, its head was positioned down as if it were looking at me, and I could definitely feel it. I don't know how long this went on for. Time was so warped and messed up, I still can't figure out how long this encounter occurred. As he continued to scratch, I heard the squeak of the rocking chair behind me, and the noise you'd hear when someone stands up out of an old chair. The exact thought that went through my mind is, you've got to be fucking kidding me. There's two of these? I remember at that moment I stopped breathing. I internally tried to meditate and calm myself, thinking that these entities are feeding off my fear. I remember telling myself to slow my heart rate, and actually at that moment I accepted my fate. Then I felt the thing lay down behind me as if it were spooning me. I never felt it touch me, but I felt the blankets behind me move. The biggest chill ran down my spine as I heard one elongated breath in my ear. Not only did I hear it, I felt my hair be brushed across my cheek as the air hit it. At this point, I was over it. All I could think of was to do was to say the Lord's Prayer. So I quickly joined my hands together and mentally recited the words, which I had always brushed off as and joked about before.
What's the Lord's Prayer?
How does it start?
Something.
Lord's Prayer?
Who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done. And give us this day our daily
our
bread.
Our Father who art in heaven.
Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name.
Your kingdom come, your will be done. That one. Anyway, where was I? Hang with
me. Is
that
the 23rd Psalm?
I don't know.
Mark 16:9-13.
Oh, what am I thinking of?
I have no clue.
23rd Psalm.
Psalm 23. Let's see. Then I was, okay. At this point, I was over it. All I could think about was through the Lord's Prayer, so I quickly joined my hands together and mentally recited the words, which I had always brushed off and joked about before. Then I was out. I don't remember anything except waking up to daylight the next morning. I jumped up, looked around the living room, and instantly became an emotional pile of goo. I woke up my sister and cousins and told them everything and was so thankful that they were okay. I have considered multiple theories of what could have happened that night. Though shadow people and sleep paralysis would be a possible theory, I don't believe that's what happened. I could still speak and move. I haven't had recurring experiences like people have with sleep paralysis encounter. I honestly believe I came into contact with demons that night. And just for reference, my parents did educate me a little on religion, but I was never told of demons before I experienced this. Though I don't belong to organized religions today, I do believe there are good and evil entities out there. The last few years, I've stopped trying to block this experience from my memory, and I've accepted it and just made me want to research and study more on demonology. With my findings, you have to willingly allow demonic presence in your life and accept it. I believe they were demons because of how they reacted to the thought of Jesus and me saying the prayer. I also believe I was at the age when they were trying to afflict me and move into my life. Whatever really happened that night, I am forever thankful for the love and light and for protecting me and my family, and I'm proud of myself for being strong enough not to accept them in. There's one quick edit here. I asked my cousin about this a few days ago. I wanted to see what she remembered from the night or if she even remembered it ever happened to me. When I asked her to call what she remembers, she claims that she heard me call her name in the middle of the night. She fell right back to sleep after waking up from my voice. She also remembered bits and pieces of the rest of the night from what I told them in the morning. This debunks the theories of me just being asleep, since she witnessed me speaking to her in the encounter. But demons, shadow people, aliens, and other cryptids are still up for grabs. I've also stopped reading, responding comments, blah, 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 blah. That's it.
That one's pretty creepy.
Yeah, dude. Have you ever...
Six?
Do you remember when
how
you were
old
a kid?
Was she? Six?
No, six creepy level.
Oh, how old was she as a kid, right?
I was 8 or 9 at the time.
See, I mean, a lot of what her thinking was, an 8-year-old, is that what you would think?
I don't know, and this is an asshole thing to say, but I don't trust what kids say.
Fair enough.
Sleeping.
A sleeping kid that could have had a bad dream that thinks it's real.
Long enough that their entire life they've thought of this and it's bothered them their whole life. It's that real to them.
I guess.
Even
that's a bummer.
They said that they've stopped trying to block it out. I don't know, man.
That's a 9 on the bummer scale.
Do you not remember, like, when you were a kid with the light off, like, being even a facing away from the door or away from the closet, for instance, and having a fear of what might be there in the dark?
I was always more worried about, like, putting my hand
Mama
under the bed.
Mama ain't raised no bitch.
What's under the bed? You know, I always wonder what, you know.
I feel you
have your hand over the bed. Is somebody going to grab it?
You never hurried up the basement stairs anywhere?
My grandma's
not out of fear.
Never.
No.
Never once, like, just a quick.
Yeah,
my
grandma's.
Yeah, I do it every time I go up the basement steps, but it's not out of fear. It's because the game's loading and I got shit to do.
I'm talking about when you were a kid, man.
Oh,
obviously, not anymore.
No.
The dark doesn't scare you.
No, my grandma's basement was pretty scary because it had cobwebs. It was old.
Even knowing exactly what's down there, there's still just that unknown. The light goes out that you can't see what's there.
Yeah, yeah. No, kids. That's natural.
You want me to go get you guys a couple of skirts or what? You fucking pansies.
Oh, my fucking God. I can't believe you.
All of a sudden.
Yeah, Mr. Tough Guy over here.
Billy Jack,
that's a joke.
Right?
All right?
That's what Ocho Man would call it.
Yeah.
All right, you want to do one more and we'll call this
out?
I do.
I don't know if I...
This one I wanted to do because I think you secretly posted this under a different account.
Me?
Yes.
No, I doubt it.
And so this was submitted... by Mummified Pigeon.
That's a name he would use, yeah.
Pigeon, I mean...
Oh, shit.
Totally. That's the imprimatur.
Confirmed.
Imprimatur
it's me.
Of,
now, hang on.
Everett.
Just a little background here. My older brother, his daughters, this is part of the story, so this isn't my background. This, even though you're my older brother, that's weird. His daughter, you have a daughter. Anyway.
You know, they don't have basements in the UK? That's interesting.
Just a little background. I didn't know that. My older brother, his daughters, and I have been staying at our mom's for the past couple weeks.
Our mom's? For the past couple weeks?
Our mom's.
Oh, our mom's. Oh,
our mom's.
Oh,
I've been staying at our mom's for the past
I haven't had anybody. I don't have a house. I live in the office.
He broke up with his children's mother and moved out, and I couldn't find a place at the time after my lease was up, so we both ended up there. This is probably unnecessary information. Sorry.
Omitted.
Situation has me sleeping on the living room floor and my brother and his kids on the pullout couch. Now, the actual creepy part. Last night, I had a dream, or so I thought, that I had woken up in the middle of the night. I checked my phone to see what time it was, 3:49 a.m. Then I looked over at where my brother and his kids were sleeping and saw a black void mass floating above my oldest niece.
I've seen one of those void masses.
Why do you think I said this? This is from a pigeon, and it's a black...
I'll go over that here in just a minute. Okay.
So anyways, floating above my
oldest
niece.
That is one of my paranormal experiences. Weird.
After a moment, it kind of turned, and I could make out this thing that looked like a white face. I didn't have any glasses on, so I can't give any more details. I don't remember anything after this. The next thing I remember is waking up and seeing the lights on in the dining room and the laundry room. I checked my phone, and it was 5:57 a.m. I got up to get some water and to lay back down until I had to get up for work. Anyway, just a while ago, I was sitting on the kitchen with my brother eating, and he goes, "So something really weird happened last night. I saw something that really scared me." Then he backed out and said, "Never mind," because he thought that I would think he was full of shit, and finally I got it out of him. He told me that he woke up in the middle of the night and saw a white, skeletal-looking, severed head with a black hood floating right above his oldest daughter. He said it was staring right at her. Then he turned to look at him, and he turned his face in the direction of the fireplace before disappearing. I sleep right in front of the fireplace. This scared him so much that he turned on the lights in the dining room and the laundry room and didn't sleep the rest of the night so he could watch over his daughter. So the lights were from her brother being scared from the same incident that she didn't know he saw. Yeah. And she woke up later and found out that he had turned the lights on because he was scared of
that's
the incident.
That's pretty creepy.
And if you ever had to sleep in the same room with this guy, you know he don't like the lights off into bedtime. It's
That's categorically false.
Okay, yeah, that's not true. I made that.
Denied.
I prefer 100%.
I think Luar's getting tired of it. When's the next show?
Friday.
I've known my
brother. He's had enough of this one.
I've never known my brother to be afraid of anything. Like, he's this big, scary-looking Jason Momoa type dude who I've seen literally pick up snakes for fun.
What type dude?
Jason Momoa. So
that's his brother, though.
Yeah, his brother's a Jason Momoa type dude.
Oh, okay. Right.
He won't let me turn the lights off. He's had paranormal experiences before, we both have, but this one really got him. I imagine it has to do with the safety or perceived lack thereof of his children. Some extra information. My mom moved into this house over the summer, and we didn't know anything about the history of it. I have a friend who grew up right next to this house, and she mentioned that she had heard it was haunted at one point, but never thought much of it. Okay, this is an update that I haven't read. It's been updated since I put this in here, so I don't know what this is going to entail. Update. When my brother told me about this last night, I didn't mention that I had also seen the same thing. He seemed pretty scared about it and didn't want to make it any worse. Anyway, a while ago, my niece's mom stopped by to see the girls. While they were playing, my brother decided to tell her about the incident, and it, of course, scared her. Not just the event itself, but because she had seen something similar before. Back when my oldest niece was a baby, so like 3 years ago, they used to have one of those video baby monitors. One night she woke up randomly and glanced over at the baby monitor to see a black mist hovering. I'm giving Everett the evil eyes for the people on the podcast can't see me. Black mist. That's his paranormal story. I'm sleeping the rest of the night because it was usually cold in her bedroom. When we got back to her bedroom, she checked the monitor again, thinking she overreacted. Maybe something was just casting a weird shadow, but found nothing that might cause it to look like a dark mist hanging over the crib. She said she never told her brother about this because, like me, she feared it would freak him out too much. So maybe it's not the house that's haunted. Maybe what if something is following my niece? I mean, her parents don't let her watch scary things, yet she has the extremely vivid nightmares that make her afraid to go to sleep. Sometimes, hell, they scare me a little when she talks about them. I don't know. End of story.
Okay, so that's the theory then. It's not the house per se. It's the child.
Right. That's following the kids.
Being dogged by this demon. Interesting. What do you think of that theory?
That's pretty creepy. It reminds me of those paranormal activities that Mr. Tough Guy over here is too scared to watch.
Fuck those movies. Fuck those movies.
Watch The Conjuring. Ass. The Conjuring was really good too. Have you seen that one? Yeah.
I've watched The Conjuring.
That's
before.
Based on a true story.
What about that one where that fucking shit flows out of that kid's mouth up in the air? It's on the fucking cover of the DVD.
Reminds me of Candyman.
What's coming out of his mouth?
Like ectoplasmic ghost shit. Just float.
Ectoplasmic ghost.
Oh, man. If you guys know what fucking movie I'm talking about in the chat,
somebody
let us know.
Will.
We got only a couple more minutes here. We got to finish out the show. That was a pretty creepy story. I feel like from everything I've read, and I'll give my quick paranormal story too, but April had a story too where I'll go into it more on Friday, but where she thought she had some sort of weird evil presence that was fucking with her at night for a couple years.
April?
My wife.
Oh, your wife. Okay. Yeah. Not the April on our...
No. No, that's the same April, the one that's in the chat.
Oh, it is.
April Hicks? Yeah.
Oh, I should have known.
Yeah, that'd be like the same last name.
Yeah, with the same last name. Coincidence. I thought it was a coincidence.
But here's the quick version of my story. One night, my wife and I were driving together by ourselves down the road over by SIUE, going past the soccer fields. You know where those are over there?
Yeah.
So I don't remember what time of night it was. It was somewhere between fucking 10 a.m. and 2 a.m. The story's, you know, 5 years old at this
point. Haunting in Connecticut, that's what it is. Sorry, go ahead.
So anyway, we're driving down the soccer field roads, past the field somewhere down that road. And out of nowhere, we both see it. There's this weird wisp of black void that comes off the left side of the road, across, and stops in front of the car, probably 50 feet in front of the car. Now, I would describe it as like a fog, a black fog, but as more of a void. Light didn't reflect off of it. It just kind of sat there in this weird
black
wispiness.
Body.
Just a black wispiness, and then took off to the other side of the road. We both saw the exact same thing. It was not insects, because you know when you see a group of flies from a distance, they kind of look like a cloud. This was solid. Like, it wasn't, like, partially see-through. You could see what's behind it. It was no seeing through it. It was black as fucking void. Like, it sucked light in, and then it was gone.
It's a black body, yeah.
Is that a paranormal thing that you've heard of before?
No. It's a theoretical body that absorbs all light and emits none.
That's pretty much what it was, and it was gone. That's basically my only real paranormal experience.
But it was kind of like a cloud. Is that what you're saying? When
kinda.
You say miss.
A wisp.
A wisp.
A will-o'-the-wisp, if you will. That's a thing. All right. That's my story. It was pretty weird. It's, to this day, I don't know exactly what I saw. I can't explain it.
But his said he had this black, but it was a white.
That's way different. His is
a white.
His is way different.
No, it was. I was just making a joke about it being him.
No, but in the story, the guy says it's a black, but
something. So they saw two different things, but it was the same like like the same incident, but they saw two different things. She saw a black mist, and he saw a white like skeletal head severed. So. Okay.
Well, I'm just trying to establish here again. I mean, if we're talking about the hereafter and spirits and ghosts and demon has been used as a term. Demon to me means something
malevolent.
Yes. Are all these spirits malevolent? I don't know.
At least the ones
like
that are
grandpa's
worth,
hugging. You know,
I don't want to hear the story about the ghost that comes around and fucking puts my underwear away for me or whatever, you know what I mean? The nice ghost.
That's what I'm saying. Wouldn't you think those
Nobody cares. Like, oh, I must have put my socks away. I don't remember doing it. Nobody cares about the nice ghost.
What's the point of that, to haunting a house? Get the hell out of my house. You know,
yeah,
why would they?
I don't know.
I would think if, like I said, if it's your loved one, grandpa came back, he'd want to help his, you know.
Maybe.
Well, tell him.
You don't know what your existence is like in after your physical.
Either.
We don't know what it means to exist.
Right.
You can't. That's the problem. I could kill you right now.
Why would they
want to
come back and kill us or do us harm?
What if these spirits are the same type of thing that our consciousness is made up with, and I'm just stick with me here, that have never made it or were worthy enough to have a human existence? So
they didn't make it as far as living beings.
Right. So say what we are as conscious beings, their consciousness existed before our body in the same way that these demons existed. Mm-hmm. But these demons are the same as us, but they never were worthy or were too mean to have a physical existence.
Right. Or it could be maybe like an aborted child.
That's exactly what I was thinking, Armand.
That'd be kind of cool.
It could that's
be,
weird because that's exactly what I was thinking.
We don't know what we are. We don't know what a demon could be. We have at the end of the day no clue what existence is on a visceral level, what consciousness means. And how it exists past the human form.
See what Jordan put?
What did he put?
Story in Key West where a haunted hotel has ghost maids on the fifth floor to clean the rooms, and actual maids only have to clean once a week. Boy, that's nice.
That sounds like an advertising thing to me.
I like it. But see, that makes more sense.
Let me guess, you manage the hotel.
Dead maid, you come back and, like, I'd be a dead podiatrist and come back and do, you know, clip people's toenails in their sleep.
That'd be pretty cool. In fact,
that's what I do.
If you died soon, come visit me because I hate doing my toenails. I do them every week and it's fucking horrible. Anyway. That's all we got for today. We're going to come back Friday, do the same show again.
Hey, I'm going to walk in, too. The hell with Ocho,
yeah,
man.
Yeah, fuck him. Do what you got to do.
Lamar's on his team. I'm very disappointed in Lamar.
I mean, you know, opinions vary.
Team Ocho, man.
Team opinions vary. Again, October 20th, that Saturday, please contact us at info@surrealtalkpodcast.com. Give us a little bit about your story, what your contact information is. I'm working on the list now, and I'll get a hold of you as soon as possible to kind of fill out what the time slots are going to look like. I do know one thing. You'll have to be on the YouTube broadcast that day. It'll be Saturday again, October 20th, 3 p.m. Central Time. So be there to get your call-in done. Otherwise, send us an email. Leave us a voicemail. Go to SerialTalkPodcast.com. On the right-hand side of the page, you'll find the little voicemail applet. Other than that, that's it. All we got for today. We'll catch you guys on Friday. Remember to check out YoRadio.com for the best in online streaming radio and LineUpMedia.fm for some great podcasts.
Yeah, you guys got anything else? No, nothing.
All right, great.
Zero.
Catch you guys Friday.
All right. So long, everybody.
Please, wake up.
This has been Surreal Talk, a lineupmedia.fm production. Listen online at surrealtalkpodcast.com and subscribe on iTunes, Google Play, Stitcher, and all major podcast outlets.
How come I know so much? What the hell is going on around here? Who are you people?
Join the conversation on Facebook and Twitter and get all of our podcasts now at lineupmedia.fm.
This podcast was a presentation of LightUpMedia.fm.